I want you to turn with me to Habakkuk this morning, if you will. Three chapters that are not unfamiliar ground with me, probably. Very, very familiar chapters to me and to my life and to all of you. Well marked three chapters. And I've just felt such a tug of God in my heart. Just keep laying these foundational basics. Relay these foundational basics. You know, there comes a time when even the 23rd Psalm becomes more than a funeral psalm. It's a life psalm. I said it's a life psalm. And it should be a daily walk of life. The Lord is my shepherd. The thought and theme that I'd like to just work on for a little while in the service today from Habakkuk is God's answer to America's crisis. God's answer to America's crisis. You cannot pick up any newspaper without all kinds of articles about crisis. We have educational crisis. We have wars and rumors of wars. Seems like we don't hear much about things being so much better in Iraq. Now we're back to Afghanistan, the political war of choice. And I mean, you know, if you try to rationalize the news and what's happening, you've been a world of hurt. Our educational system, throwing more money into our educational system, which has already been a high percentage of a proven failure. We're raising a generation of kids that can't read or spell or do math or whatever, and we're going to throw more money into that. And I look at the wonderful Christian schools across this land that are not getting a dime of government help. For us, it's double dipping to educate our children. And it's a worthy endeavor. I'm going to tell you something. That seemed like a good idea when we first started Christian education. It's every year proving to be more of a God idea. Nothing's perfect. Christian schools aren't perfect. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus is Lord. And we're not ashamed of the name of Jesus. We're not ashamed of the Bible. We're not ashamed of the Ten Commandments. We don't get saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. But I wouldn't want to live next door to somebody that didn't keep some of the Ten Commandments. It'd be a dangerous neighbor to live with. But to me, this Bible, or my Bible, your Bible, it's a life raft in the midst of an ocean, that when your feelings crater, when your bank account seems to crater, or when your emotions just don't seem up to another day, give you a little tip. Some of you will be far better off if you just take some news breaks and go to the real good news. The good news is God's Word. God's answer to America's crisis. We have war crisis, we have educational crisis, we have political crisis. And I'm telling you, I made a statement a while ago that just came to me so strongly sitting in that chair. Money is not our biggest problem in America. Solving the current financial problem, if we don't get too deeply embedded in socialism, we will come out, we will come through, and God can even hopefully break the back of that thing. Some things are falling into place that we've not faced before. We've faced tough times before, but we've been able to face it on the basis of in God we trust. And we just pray that God stops extreme things. Christian schools are more under fire today than they've ever been. Faith projects and church and the things of God are less respected today in government positions than ever before. In the natural, we're an endangered species, but according to God's Word, we're coming into our finest hour. The first chapter begins with burden. Sorry to give you that news, but that's the way it is. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He saw some things that caused burdens. That's even before television. That's before videos. That's before movies. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Now, let's look at some of the burdens. I mean, it's different translations may say it different ways, but there was the burden of violence. Violence in all of our cities. Any city of any size has pockets of violence. The burden of sin. Sin is a reproach to any people, the Bible said. The burden of wars and rumors of wars. I thought we were getting out of the war business. Now we're going back into Afghanistan. And that becomes real when you see thousands of troops now going back into Afghanistan. Spoiling, strife, contention. All of these are burdens which Habakkuk did see. He saw God's law being discarded. And he saw man's laws being exalted over the laws of God. Now, church, I just put something out there and leave it because this is not popular today. The issue, listen to me carefully. If you have no pangs of conscience over the issue of abortion, you need to answer another altar call before this service is over today. You may not understand, but you need to have some understanding. Condemnation? No. Forgiveness of God? Yes. But my heart is troubled. And I'm not going to stay there. I can't stay there. Habakkuk pulls me out of that moment. But, you know, when you think of the millions of babies, what is it, 50? Is it 50 million babies that have been aborted? And God loves every precious woman that's... You say, you're a man. I realize that. But I'm saying that God forgives and God restores. So we're not trying to open any wounds. But, hey, let's look at the future. We've just thrown the door wide open. Whatever George Bush was or wasn't, he kept the brakes on to a certain extent of things now that the door's been... Do you know part of all this money and spending is to fund God knows how much to the abortion industry? Not only in our nation, but in other nations. We're helping other nations. You said that's negative. You better get this inside of you somewhere. I'm not for that. If you can be for that and have no pangs of conscience, I'm not in the business of offending people on purpose, but I'm telling you, it is not a dead issue with God. It's not a dead issue with God. It's not a dead issue with God. That and the homosexual issue. God loves the homosexual. We love the homosexual. We love their souls. We desire God's best for their lives. And this church on more than one occasion has proven its love. But I don't condone that. And the Word of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament clearly condemns that. And if you can see that as a non-issue, you need to answer the next altar call. And we need as a nation to have our conscience restored in those areas. See, that's the problem with passing bad laws. They come in, but they don't go out. They lock into place. And then, it's been said even among conservatives, that's a dead issue. That cannot be reversed. I don't know how, but I know God is able. You say, well, you going to stay there? No, I'm not going to stay there because, you know, we're raising a generation that doesn't even care. But we care here at Calvary Cathedral International. So, there's contention. God's laws versus man's laws. Right, correct judgment, it just doesn't seem to come around. I mean, someone can do some terrible things as we've seen a judgment this week. And so they go to life and now we have to pay how many millions of dollars for someone that was boozing and drugging and raping and, you know. So now our tax dollars have to spend the rest of their life. And I'm not for wrongful incarceration either. I cringe. This DNA thing, hopefully, will get some things straightened out to where we know who's supposed to be where. And I certainly am 100% for that. But you see, if you look at all this, if that's all you dwell on, see, that's what I'm aiming for. If that's all I dwelt on, I'd be almost worthless to do what God's called me to do. The law is slacked, he said in verse 4. Judgment doth never go forth. The wicked compass about the righteous. Wrong judgment proceedeth. And now we're getting judgment from judges, not juries. And it's just a lot of the wheels really out of balance in our nation. But it's not too bad for God. You know, God's taken worse messes than we have right now and turned it around. I was telling Joel this morning, I was listening to a Bible teacher. He's a great Bible teacher, but he was talking about one of the Old Testament characters and how he did so much right, but then he turned around and ended up patronizing heathen gods. And I said, you know, when will people learn all throughout the Old Testament? I mean, what's so hard about doing what God said to do? I mean, how could I live with myself? This church believes in God, the Word of God, living for God. We may not do a perfect job on it, but that's where we're coming from. I'm not here to instruct you on how to beat the laws of God and how to do the wrong thing and come out okay. I mean, this church is for biblical values. I am for biblical values. Our staff stands for biblical values. And I don't know where else to go except that. Now, here it is. Habakkuk, he's looking at all this, and we all have days when it's in your face. You pick up the newspaper. It's everywhere you go. And, you know, you look at the backbone of our nation has been finances, and you look at the mortgage situation, and all of a sudden it's dawning on people that we're expected to pay mortgages for folks that bought something three times as big as you have and can't make the payments, so you're making your you try not making your payments. One of our dear people missed a credit card payment, and the wrath of God came down from a credit card company when they'd had a perfect pay record. It's all so friendly until you miss a payment. I tell you, God's calling us to get out of debt. God's calling us to get out of debt. Then you have to worry about them phone calls and worry about that tow truck and all that goes with that. So what are we saying? You look at the mortgage situation. You look at all the things that are around us, finances for healthcare. Healthcare, it needs overhauling, but it doesn't need wrecking. Wars and rumors of wars. The automotive industry. A nation that has been famous for automobiles. Now we're in trouble. We're really in trouble. So what's a guy to do? What's a preacher to do? What's a layperson to do? Chapter 2, thank God, thank God, thank God. What's the answer to your burden? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You know the old song, if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you up. Chapter 2 begins with, I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I'm going to watch and see what God has to say. Not what CNN has to say, or NBC, or ABC, or XYZ. And then when I hear what God has to say, I shall answer when I am reproved. It's kind of Jeremiah 33:3 stuff. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get an answer from God. And in verse 2, and the Lord answered me. Because when prayer goes up, God comes down. Thank God for the power tower. Thank God for our church that prays. Thank God for a church that prays. The Lord answered me. And he gave him a game plan and told him what to do about the vision, writing it, making it plain so that he that runneth may readeth it. So we put up a sign on the freeway. Now they're nervous about that. Woo! Hallelujah. We put part of our vision on the freeway. Got a big, nice sign out there. And guess who doesn't like that? Praise God. Hallelujah. He said the vision's yet for an appointed time. You know, it's been going through. Watchmen, what of the night? Well, the morning cometh, but also the night. We got some night coming, but rejoice, the morning's coming too. Just as sure as there is a night, the morning is coming. I said, as surely as there is a night, there is a morning that's coming. I'm talking about daybreak. The morning's coming. The morning's coming for believing people. The morning is coming for praying people. The morning is coming for those that stake their life. They're all upon the promises of God. And then it goes to that Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the latter part of that verse. But the just shall live by his faith. The bedrock of the word of God, the bedrock of the new covenant. The just shall not live by works, but the just shall live by faith. And I love Habakkuk's way of saying it, by his faith, by her faith, by your faith, by our faith. Your faith in God is the strongest thing you have going for you. Don't lose it. Don't throw that sword away. The just shall live by his faith, by her faith. The just shall live. That means when I'm tempted to just go brain dead according to what's happening to what's going on, I remember that it was said here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17 says the same thing. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? That means my granddaughter down here, she doesn't live by her mind alone, but she learns to live by her faith in God for her future, for her transportation. She has a dream. That child has some dreams. You get your education by faith. You serve God by faith. You do the right thing by faith, honey. Regardless of what anyone else does, you do the right thing. You make the right decisions. And if you, by faith, do the right thing, God will always bring you out in victory. God will always see you through. God will do it. The just shall live, not by fatalism, not by fear, but by faith. You say, but you don't know the financial thing we've been through. I said, the just shall live by faith. You don't know what we're facing now. The just shall live by faith. You don't know how I feel right now. The just shall live, not by feelings, but by faith. I mean, I just looked across this audience. You'd never know. But I can show you about 24 people that have come to me and said, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. I mean, everything from family problems to financial problems to problems that we don't have time to go into. But we stood together. We prayed together. And we believed God together. Doesn't mean we did that every day and every hour. But I mean, we drove a stake. And I said, I'm believing with you. May take a while. Turnaround may take a while. But faith will bring a turnaround. Faith in God will bring a turnaround in the most difficult situation. Young people are faced with some of the greatest challenges of their life today. But faith will bring a turnaround. You give up, you might as well throw in the towel and just, you've had it. You've had it. It's not a time to give up. And it's not a time to go back. I said it's not a time to go back. It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to go to the left or to the right. It's time straight on. Because some way, somehow, my God, because of the faith of God that's in my heart, is going to see me through. I'm going to pray about it, he said in chapter 2. And then he comes up with this great revelation that goes right on into the New Testament, which is the heart and the core of the new covenant relationship that God has with us. Well, the just have always lived by faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, the third chapter, it says a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. I want to tell you something. This word revival is not dead. It's two words Satan's tried to get me to back off of through the years, faith and revival. He said people are tired of hearing that. And revival is not mentioned that much in the Word of God, but the spirit of revival is. It's all the way through the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament. I mean, it's you go into the letters to the seven churches, the Spirit's calling for revival, calling for change. It's calling for newness of life. But he said, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. That's what we need to cry for today. I'm telling you, saints, listen, the answer is not purely Republican or purely Democratic. The answer is not purely more money thrown at us. The answer is God. This nation needs God. We need a revival of the things of God in our personal lives, our churches, our educational system. Well, don't patty cake. Praise God. Give him a hand clap of affirmation. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the middle of all the stuff that's coming down, make known in wrath. Folks, do you realize that if it was not for the grace of... Read through the Old Testament. I was just reading through Numbers this last... Reading through some of Numbers. I mean, they so went against the things of God. Finally, God just said, Moses, back off. They're not fooling with you. They're fooling with me. 250 people are swallowed up. Now, that'd get your attention, wouldn't it? If you saw 250 people swallowed up in the earth, now you think that would really make them wise and alert? Do you know the next day they were at it again? The next day! You know, we can all err, and then something gets our attention, and we say, oh, get me back in center here. I'm not going left. I'm not going right. I get the message, Lord. I surrender all. Not these folks. It was so severe that even people around backed off because they were afraid they would be the next person, that the earth just opened up. And sweet, wonderful, loving, tender God, 250 people went into eternity. And the next chapter. I mean, that's what I said. I'm in Bible study and in my room. I said, and the next day, the next chapter, now. Don't tell me this. Haven't you read it before? There's a lot of things I've read before, but all of a sudden it's like I never read it before. That's why you need to read the Bible through. But I'm going to tell you, there's some life principles there that we need to revive and keep revived. And they just, you know, kept mouthing to Moses until finally God said, hey, Moses, you step aside. I'll take care of this one. And God did. But they didn't learn their lesson. The next chapter, they're at it again. And you go back to the kings. Wouldn't you think that when you saw God blessing a good king and good king, good kingdom and good finances and winning wars and not even having to fight wars, the peace of God and God, don't you know that everybody should want to serve God? No. Human nature says I'm going back to make a little stupid looking idol and I'm going to worship that little ugly demon. And I'm going to make groves out in the wood. I mean, they did some strange things back then. And this is the same God that brought water out of the rock, that brought manna and fed them. The same God that their clothes didn't wear out. The same God that gave them health, divine health. I mean, what more could God do? And you know what it makes me? I say, oh, God, don't let me be that stupid. God, don't let me read this stuff and turn around and make the same dumb mistakes. It pays to serve God. It pays to do the right thing. It pays if you have to stand alone to do what's right. Don't let me read this and be dumber than they were. Help me to profit from the mistakes of others. And I tell you, seeing some serious mistakes that have been made the ministries over the ministry and ministries over the years, we're facing some things that are crazy among preachers. And I told someone, said, what is the answer? I said, you make up your mind what you're going to do before you attempted to do it. You know, you make up your mind what you're going to do. Well, you just never know what you're going to do. You don't know what you're going to do if you don't know what you're going to do. But just realize, you know, you get out here on this 35 and get on the wrong side of that thing and just drive fast enough and far enough and we'll be doing your final service. You know that much. You can't go across the lane on the things of God and violate the laws of God and not see results that are corresponding. All right, back to the positive side. Revive thy work. Revive thy work. And going down to verse 17, I know there's all kind of verses here. There were three failures that were happening in that day and time. The flocks, he said, although, verse 17 on, although the flocks fail and the fields fail and the fruits fail. Now, there's not much left. That's their whole system of finance right there. Flocks, fields, fruits. And I mean, if your cattle are dead or diseased, if your fields are not producing food, and all the fruits of the land, something's happened there. Flocks, fields, fruits. If all three of these shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Tough times. People say this is the worst time our nation has ever faced. It is in making bad choices and putting us in bad situations there. I won't go to that trail. But what I'm saying, this is not the worst time we faced. And our need is not more money. That $13 a month they're going to give you, don't spend it all in one place. Folks, say it with me. It's not money I need. It's more of God. It's not money that our nation needs. That's not the biggest need. The biggest need is God. Because I serve the God that answers by fire. I serve the God that one prophet of God can stand before. We say 400, but actually it was, 850 prophets of Baal. My God, I'm crying out for that kind of faith. Not to hurt people, but to help people. One prophet of God. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill that said in his lifetime, it's as if Elijah ran around with a key to heaven in the back hip pocket of his robe. Elijah, powerful man of God. You had to pray one prayer 18 seconds long that brought the fire down. He didn't scream, he didn't holler, he didn't pound the carpet. He prayed an 18-second prayer, and the fire of God fell. It not only licked up the sacrifice, it licked up the stones. I mean, there was nothing but scorched earth when the prayer of Elijah was answered. God, let the semblance of that kind of faith reside within us. We're not at the mercy of what's happening around us nowadays. We're the answer to it. We're the faith people. When I was in Perth, Australia, and was it 1981, It's a prophecy that we gave at that time. The life people are coming. Someone handed me a copy of that when I was in Australia here a year or so ago. The life people are coming. I've got news for this world. The life people are coming. People that believe God's promise and believe God's word. Any corporation, any factory, any shop, any store, any enterprise is blessed to have employees that are members of the light brigade. Just let your light so shine before men. You say, I don't have much. Let what you have shine. I don't have as much as someone else has. Let what you have shine. Live what you have. Speak what you know. Pray what you know. Sow what you have. And watch God bring the benefits. Well, he said if there's no flocks, no fields, no fruits. I mean, this is a dark picture. What then? Well, you have a decision to make. I have a decision to make. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice. To rejoice is a choice. Yet I will rejoice. What am I going to rejoice in? I will joy in the God of my salvation. Like something I read so long ago. Don't you remember where? It said if they run you out of town, lead the parade. They'll think you're the drum major. That's kind of the philosophy that Paul had. He said, Paul, we're going to kill you. He said, make my day. Promote me. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon high places. Hinds' feet, high places. I don't want to get too close to the edge, but you know, the hind is made supernaturally by God to walk in high places. Other animals would fall off the mountain, but he's an animal that can walk those little edge trails in high places. He doesn't suffer from altitude sickness up there. He's sure-footed. Every step counts. When every step counts, the hind is engineered by God to walk in high places. And I'm telling you, you've been engineered by God to walk in high places. You've been made by God to walk in high places. You've been made by God to walk in dangerous places. I work in a dangerous place. You have hind's feet. Oh, I work around dangerous people. You have hind's feet. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God. You can walk the edge and you don't go off the edge when you have to. You'll have hind's feet. God made you to make the journey. God made you to go all the way. God made you to be a specimen of don't quit. No fields, no fruits, no flocks. Yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He shall cause me to walk upon the high places. This is it. Get a grip on it. This is the best credit card you've ever had. This is the best banker you've ever had. This is the best doctor you've ever had. This is the best success seminar you could ever attend. When politicians fail, when banks fail, when the educational process fails, here's your success book. Thou shalt have good success is the promise of God Almighty.